Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Can emotions really be responsible for why we become ill? There's a growing body of scientific evidence that indicates, in fact, emotions do play an important part in why we become ill and why we stay healthy. In fact, this evidence is showing that as many as half of the patients who actually visit a doctor on an annual basis are suffering more from a psychological symptom than they are even a physical symptom. And those symptoms and that psychological component is because of negative emotions. And what this means is that we're really, in the way that we're working with our life and dealing with our life, we're looking outside of ourselves for the answers, and we're relying on other people to tell us who we are, and we're relying on their expectations. And what occurs then is we don't go in and find out our true emotions, and a lot of times those will feed the negative emotions. And one of the things that we're going through and preparing now in July, getting ready for that big, big energy shift, I mean, it is literally a turning point in human consciousness, and the Maya calendar actually predicted it within almost the hour of when this was going to happen. And one of the things that we are being asked in the month of July to prepare for this big shift, August 9th, 2009, is we're being asked, do you want to see your life through your mind and through your conditioning, and as a result, allow negative emotions to impact the decisions you make? Or do you want to see your life through the eyes of your soul? When you see life through the eyes of your soul, every experience is literally just that. It isn't bad, it isn't good, it's an experience. The human mind and the heart is what adds the emotions. And so you're being asked, how do you want to see your life? The other thing, there's two major questions. I'm going to continue to repeat these throughout my shows in July. There's two important questions that each of us should be asking ourselves in preparation for this great shift. What are you really? And when you write down really, underline, put exclamation points, what are you really good at? Number one question. Number two question is, what do you love doing? And what that does is it shifts the perception that you have of yourself, because that's where all this has to start. And it actually starts negating the negative emotions that we are actually feeling in our body that color our life. Most important, they color our attitude. You know, we talk about being optimistic. We'd love to be optimistic on every level, but the truth of the matter is we're optimistic in some areas and we're pessimistic in others. We focus so much on the place where we're optimistic, which is the human nature, because of the way we're conditioned, and nobody wants to look at life through the foibles and the hurts and all the things that we have. But it's in those, in that pessimism, that we find the shadow. And in the shadow, the way that Carl Jung talked about it, it's the parts of ourselves waiting to be illuminated. I was thinking the other day, I just came off of teaching a 4-day class on chakras and mapping them in the body and everything. And it's a class I absolutely love to teach. It's a 4-day class. But for some reason, yesterday, the last day, I was extremely tired, which is something that usually doesn't happen. And I got up in the morning, I was walking around, and my first thought was, I really am tired. I really wish I wasn't doing this today. And then I found, this happened and this happened. And, my back hurts, my feet are blah, 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 blah. And I found myself going down that path of looking at only the negative part of what was happening. And all of a sudden, my soul kind of like entered into me, and the picture that I have of my soul is like a Yoda. That happens to be my visualization. And it's like this little Yoda came up and it says, gosh, it's a nice day. It's going to be cooler today than it was yesterday. Did you notice that you walked here and your feet didn't hurt? Did you notice that when you went outside that you could smell that fresh morning air? Did you notice that you had zucchini on your plants? And it kept telling me things that would distract me from what I was looking at through those negative lenses of life. And negative emotions have a tremendous impact on the physical body. because of the state of mind that it creates. So this show today is all about how do we move beyond those negative emotions. And frankly, what we do is just shift the way that we see our life. I want to thank you for joining me today. I'm medical intuitive Carol Reitberger. A topic that couldn't be more divinely timed. You know, I'd love to take credit for it. My humanist, when I plan my shows a month in advance, I'd be like, well, I knew that. You know, spiritual or not, you kind of fall into these things that are exactly what they should be at the exact time, you know, that being in sync or being in the flow. And that's the way it was with this show today, because July 1st, the whole month of July, we have a chance to go in and really look at emotions and look at the emotions that make us the happy camper, but also be willing to walk into ourself to find the emotions that are limiting to us, limiting not only in what we think, but also limiting in how it impacts our physical body. So that's the topic of the show. I'm going to be talking about emotions from what I call Emotions 101. I'm going to be talking about negative emotions. I'm even going to be linking some of the illnesses that we experience in our physical body with emotions. And then I'm going to be offering some insight and what you can do to be able to change those emotions. Now, I don't know if you had an opportunity to tune into the show, Science for Life. I encourage you to do so. It will be up in Doug Park's archives on contacttalkradio.com. Dr. Wayne Dyer and Dr. Bruce Lipton, both leading edge thinkers in the field of Excuses Be Gone, Dr. Wayne's Dyer's new book. And how do you do that? So in compliment to what you're going to hear today, I encourage you to go back and listen to Doug's shows in the archives for July 1st. It is just rich with little tidbits of information that you'll be able to go in and use. And that's really what it's about. Your soul looks at everything that you hear and everything that you read as just little tidbits. And anytime you get hungry for those tidbits, all you have to do is to ask to find them. And it's kind of like a treasure hunt of life. And when you find those tidbits and maybe you find that negative emotion, then what you can do is you can find ways to be able to change it. And that's some of the things that I'm going to be offering. I'm also looking forward to taking your calls. So if you have a question for me about your health, you can call me at 877-230-3062, or you can call me at 425-644-5620. Contact Talk Radio is always looking for ways to be able to expand our listener base. And we just received an email that even England is able to come in on that 425 number. So if you are in other parts of the world and the other number didn't work, we've got a brand new one for you. 425-644-5620. And then also 877-230-3062. So let's go in and let's start with just an emotion 101. Emotions are your soul's way to let you know if what you're thinking, acting, and saying is in alignment with who you are or out of alignment. Your emotions are like an internal barometer. When the emotions are positive, love, peace, happiness, bliss, cheerfulness, whatever it may be, joy, then whatever you are doing, thinking, or saying is in alignment. But what happens when you get frustrated or you have resentment or you have anger? Your soul is saying to you, these are the emotions that are showing you, both in the emotion and the degree of energy and charge you have to that emotion, how much you are compromising yourself. Anger is a continuum. It has various ranges to it. You can be a little miffed, or you can be so angry that you just want to go out and punch something. When you reach that punch something, your soul is saying, this is the time for change. They can also be the source of our happiness, and they can be our worst enemy. When we get into the happy emotions or the healthy emotions, the positive ones, they actually change the chemistry of your body, and it tells your body to be able to deal with stress in a healthy way, meaning you have all kinds of cancel points within your body that when you get stressed, then if it's a healthy type of stress, which it's a motivation for you, then what you do is the stress has no impact. if you go in and you hold the stress and it's negative emotions and negative stress and you hang on to that emotion, then it can become your worst enemy to your body because it creates a chemical change that sustains in your body, and the end result is it weakens your immune system, and as a result, it weakens your ability or disempowers you to make the choices that you choose to make. Emotions let you know exactly that. Are you making decisions for your reasons or others? If you make it for your reasons, even though it may be the same decision that you would have made if somebody had implied or had told you you had to, the minute it becomes your decision, again, the emotions, the chemical change in the body are literally in a healthy state. You have so many counsel points, it does not do harm. What is an emotion? An emotion is any chemical reaction. Let's say it this way. An emotion is an instantaneous chemical reaction in your body. That's how you discern the difference between emotion and feeling. I had this conversation again with my students. They said, Carol, they're one and the same. Absolutely. We use them interchangeably. That's the way that we're designed to think about it. But the truth is, a feeling is just an observation. It's just information. There is no emotional charge. For example, you go out and you go, the sun is out. That is an observation. The emotion is, oh, darn, it's going to be hot. Now you've added that emotional charge. So when you think of an emotion, there's an instantaneous change in the chemistry of your body. Your emotions also reveal your fears, and they show you just how strong a grip those fears have over you mentally, emotionally, and even energetically. They let you know when something you're doing is not right. The emotion of procrastination, as strange as it would sound, because most people think that procrastination is an actual, more like an attitude. But the truth is, when you procrastinate, you literally are changing the chemistry in your body. That procrastination is telling you, from the soul's perspective, it's asking you, are you sure you really want to do this? Are you sure you really want to do this now? Are you sure that you want to do this anytime? And if you listen to your emotion, it will let you know that. Your body's going to let you know that. If your mind comes in and goes, well, you have to, well, you should, and you can do it, I mean, and if you don't, you're going to disappoint everybody, then what you do is it changes the chemical reaction to the body. Also, the other side of it is it lets us know through our emotions when we're doing something that we really love. The best way to know if your emotions are on the positive side is smiling. You cannot have a happy emotion or a healthy emotion and not have a smile on your face. Whether it's a toothy grin or not really doesn't make any difference, but you are smiling. Whenever I work with someone and I can hear that smile in their voice, or I can see their energy field smile at me, or I can see that smile on their face, then I know that what they heard and how they've processed it is in alignment with their soul. It isn't my place to basically tell them what to do. It is my place to lead them to their happy place to know that that's what they want to do. So what is a negative emotion? The negative emotion is something that instantaneously, again, changes the chemistry of the body, but it changes the chemistry because there's an element of fear to it, as if you have just stuck your finger in a 220 light socket. There is literally adrenaline that is absolutely pumping uncontrollably. Your breathing becomes rapid, it becomes shallow, your heart begins to race, your body begins to sweat, your mind goes into that land of indecision, can't make it, analysis paralysis. What your soul is doing is using that negative emotion so you can experience the degree of it, so you can take a deep breath. When you do, your mind becomes clear, and then your soul says, is this what you truly desire to do? And if the answer is no, then rethink it. And if you're being pressed to move forward and it doesn't feel right and you make decisions based on emotion and feeling right, don't do it. You know what happens. The minute you make that decision, voila, it's the wrong one. The minute it comes out of your mouth, you want to be like that little child that we used to be. It says, take back, don't want that to go out there. Energy is very viable. It's very dynamic. Emotion is energy. Thought is energy. When you add a negative thought with a negative emotion, meaning the thought is against you, the emotion is against you, that goes out in the field. And you know, the field doesn't go in there and say that this is a negative emotion. It just says, here's information. Does anybody have the same feeling or the same experience? Voila. It does that wonderful dance. And in the law of attraction, it comes back to you. So the negative impact of emotions in the body is it keeps you in a state of fight or flight. It keeps the chemistry imbalanced. The longer the chemistry is imbalanced, the more difficult it is for your body to stay balanced, the more difficult for your immune system to be able to stay balanced. And then what occurs at that point in time is that your body loses its memory over the course of time of how it is to feel good. And so we have to do things that make us feel good. And one of the most positive emotions that we have is love. And it isn't so much love for everyone outside of us. It's self-love. The second part of that is self-acceptance. The worst thing we can do is to say that we hate ourselves. That is like taking poison and waiting to die. And that's what Edgar Cayce said, and that's what the Hopi Indians say, that if you say something to yourself that you would not say to others, then you are poisoning yourself and turning yourself on yourself. And in my world as a medical intuitive, turning yourself on yourself is literally the precursor for autoimmune disorders. So when you look at those negative emotions, don't run from them. Embrace them. Spend time with them. If they make you angry, they make you cry, spend time and allow that to happen. The shift that we're going through between now and August 9th, we're being asked to enjoy the process. We're being asked to move beyond avoiding the things that are uncomfortable. That doesn't mean you have to spend a lot of time there, but recognize they're uncomfortable. Take power back in yourself, take a positive emotion, and change it. If there is fear, create love. If there is hate, create love. If there is anger, create love. So if you want to go in and to know the positive emotion that literally can neutralize all negative emotions, the word is love. So what I want to do now is let me go ahead and just jump right in and let's start taking some calls. Hi, Betty from Indiana, line one. Hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
My pleasure. How can I help you?
I think you were already talking to me ahead of time when you mentioned the two questions that we really need to ask ourselves and that's what we're really good at and what do you love doing. And I've been aware of those questions, yet I've had so much confusion, negativity, doubt, blocking, obstacles. And a lot of it, I think, sometimes is like I have too many things I enjoy doing and then I cannot make a decision or seem to get any clear direction.
Yeah, and then what it feels like is that you're stuck, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And then I get angry, then I get negative, and people say, oh, but if I could do what you do, or if I could do all those things that you do, but it's like too many things. And
well,
it's like, pick one, how?
Yeah, well, you know, it really is, Betty. I mean, and when I listen to your personality through the words that you're using, and if you haven't taken my personality assessment, if you have any of my books, it's in there, the long form, but if not, go to WrightBurger.com. There's a little mini assessment. It'll help you understand your color. But see, you're one of those personalities that you really love life. You love experiencing things. You love trying things. Your mind is always working. In your mind, you're already creating, you're already doing, you already have the finished product, and you're just good at a lot of things. But the point is, with that is, when you're good at a lot of things, it's like a shotgun. It's like you're just shooting yourself all over. And because of that, you don't have the time to focus on any one of those things to be able to figure out what you truly love. Now I add the dynamics of your role that you've been placed on in your family dynamics that you're not even allowed to be your personality. That doesn't mean that they're bad people by any means. It's just that they have their needs. And then the second part of your personality is you want those needs to be met. So the way that I see you when I'm listening to you is I see you in the circus, and that isn't a negative. The circus is a fun place. It's got three rings. It's got the ring of the mind, the ring of the emotions, and the ring of the soul. That's really the way I look at it. Mm-hmm. And here you are. You have a marvelous sense of humor. I haven't heard it very much in especially the last 6 weeks, but you do have a marvelous sense of humor. And so here you are, and it's like you're running from circle to circle, and it's like, okay, I want to show the guests over that are in this side of the tent what it's like to spin all these plates. And I see you with these little tall, you know, little dowels with these plates, and you're spinning and spinning, and then you run to the center circle and you're spinning, you run to the soul circle and you're spinning. And while you're doing that, you're trying to entertain everybody, make them laugh, make them have a great life. The plates start to wobble. Something inside goes, oh my gosh, it's going to drop. And then all of a sudden you go into that fear that you're going to drop something. And it's that fear of dropping something that has caused you to forget that the joy is the fact, honey, you can spin plates. The fear is that you're going to drop something. And if you could go in that metaphor and look at your life and look at what in your life, well, this is what this energy is all about. It isn't about saying to your family, okay, you're on your own. I'm not doing this anymore. That may be part of it, but that's not what this is about. But it's focusing, what are you really good at? And then what that does is it starts to narrow the number of plates that you have spinning.
And then can't get there. I've tried it.
Yes, and so here's where you have the dilemma. Things need to make sense to you, and they need to feel right. Is that accurate?
Right.
So you have to make sense of things in your life, in your left brain, and yet you make decisions in your right brain. You have to have the time, the quiet, the solitude, the stop spinning plates for you to be able to allow your neurology to literally work as it does in personality. Every time you get forced to do something because it's the right thing to do, that makes sense, but it doesn't feel right in your heart. That's a chemical reaction. The minute you try to follow something that's in your heart, somebody else is pressing you to say, well, come on, how long is this going to take? Well, I don't know, till it feels right. Well, how long is that? Well, I don't know. So now you're in that chemistry change also. So having said all that, there's some things that you can do. Literally, what I'm picking up that you say that you're stuck and that you feel stuck is that your chemistry of your body has become so comfortable with that chemistry imbalance that we want to change it. So, let's see. What do you really love to do?
Color. I love to garden.
Okay.
And I do like to play in the art. However, financially, it doesn't seem to be working right now. And I have a difficult time marketing myself, no matter what I do. You know, like, okay, I've got a couple children's books, and they're, you know, laying. And I've got lots of artwork, and it's sitting.
Okay.
I have a difficult time marketing.
Well, there you are. So you've identified what you're good at. And out of those things, go into each one of those things and decide where you want to put your energy. Do you want to put it in gardening? Do you want to put it in your art? Do you want to put it in your books? Then what you do is you find someone that can help you market. We are in an interesting, interesting age in our society now, in the whole way that business is doing things. The bottom line of it is, we have the internet, and that, the blogs, the Twitter, the Facebook, the MySpace, we have the ability to touch millions of people globally by allowing that computer to be able to market us. But what we need to do is find someone that can create on that website or create in that process what we look like and what we want our clients to see. And when we do that, then it takes care of itself. And the interesting thing is it builds up a momentum. The Jonas Brothers, hottest group there is right now, as far as especially with the teenage girls and everything, they started on the internet. They started there, and then they were picked up, and then someone saw them and wanted to bring them out. So again, let's go back, and yes, there's your weak spot. You just identified in your personality where your weak spot is. So you can continue to hit that weak spot, or what you can do is you can go in and focus, first of all, what you're good at. Where do you want this to go? Then find someone that can help you. And then when someone, you find that someone, use your intuition. You do that all the time. Use your intuition. Give them your dream. Tell them how you want to look. What do you want people to get out of it? And then what you do. Those are the steps. Now, Betty, this isn't an instant gratification. That's another thing that we're looking at now. The mind wants instant gratification. The soul doesn't care about instant gratification because everything's process. So right. Start one place, sweetie. Find someone. And you may have to kiss a lot of frogs to find that princess or that prince. But be willing to do that. Be willing to be in the process of change, knowing clearly in your mind and in your imagination what that outcome is going to look like. And when you do that, then you will see what it's going to be, and the process takes care of itself. I know I have people say, come on, Carol, that's so simple. Honestly, sweetie, it's that simple. So I would start with those three things and then just step at a time, hon.
Okay.
Thank you so much. And just learn more about you. You know, you have wonderful gifts, and dwell on the gifts. Those help also. My pleasure. Okay. What I want to do is I'm going to go ahead and I want to take a very brief commercial break. I do notice that I've got Gail on line two. Gail, please, I want you to stay on the line, honey. As soon as I come back, I'm coming back to you. Stay tuned. I'm going to be right back to talk more about negative emotions. Thanks for joining me.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you, so next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the hosts and for others.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month, she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Hi, thanks again for joining me. If you are just joining me on my show today, I'm talking about negative emotions and how it impacts your health. And in this segment, I'm going to talk a little bit as a medical intuitive, how I see that health negative emotion dynamics in the body. I'm also going to be taking your call. So if you have a question for me about your health, you can call me at 877-230-3062 or 425-644-5620. I actually have an event that I would like to invite you to. It's on July 28th, 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. It's being sponsored by Hay House, and it's a live online event. It's a two-hour event where I'm going to be talking about reinventing yourself and changing times and the importance of your personality. If you would like to know more about this event, you can go to the Contact Talk Radio HayHouse.com events page. You can go to HayHouse.com or HayHouseRadio.com, or you can go to RitBerger.com, RitBerger.com, and it'll have information on the event itself. Again, reinventing yourself and changing times. I thought, oh my gosh, divine timing, because that is what we're being asked to do in the month of July, preparing for the August 9th, 2009. And reinventing isn't starting all over. It's taking what you already have that works for you and reinventing that. It's literally alchemy. Okay, but before I go in and talk a little bit more about the connection with negative emotions and illness, I want to jump into Gail from North Carolina. Hi, Gail.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for hanging on, huh?
Thank you for my call again.
My pleasure. How can I help you?
Hi. Wanted to ask you about some health issues, and the subject you're talking about today is so what I want to talk to you about, so I'm just kind of scattered at the moment. The last time I talked with you, you told me I had developed a couple of food allergies in the last 6 months or so, and
correct,
it might be causing a few problems, and I've been kind of messing around with my foods, eliminating this and trying that, and I'm not having much luck figuring out what is, and I was wondering if you could see specifically what I need to stay away from.
I can't.
I have just had a blood test run simply because I have never had my cholesterol checked and whatnot, and I haven't had a follow-up visit on that, but she says my white blood cell count is slightly elevated.
Correct.
And I don't know if that's coming from this thing that I got a tick-borne illness a couple of years ago. It's called Ehrlichiosis. It's not Lyme disease, but it's a strain of it. And they consider it to be chronic, and I absolutely don't believe it. I don't want to hear the word chronic, but every once in a while when problems start to kick up a little with me, I think, well, maybe I'm wrong, you know.
oh, darn, I hate that when that
happens.
Get
a little rash here and there and little achy joints here and there. I'm thinking, okay, that chronic thing is kicking back up again. And the other health issue was, it's called angiospastic migraines, and I get them occasionally, and I don't really even have much of a headache, and the reason I'm even bringing it up is because they are so scary. I get really bad visual disturbances.
Mm-hmm.
I go numb, and there have been times when I've actually lost my voice.
Right.
And it's happened enough lately that I'm concerned that, you know, maybe I should let them run me through all those tests like they did my dad years and years ago when that was the result, and I just kind of know that it's the same thing. But it'd be nice
okay
to have somebody like you say, you're right, don't waste your time.
Well, in some ways I will be able to do that, sweetie, and very honestly, in other ways I will not. So let me tell you what that means. The elevated blood count is an indicator that you have inflammation in your body and your immune system is working overtime. That isn't a negative. It doesn't mean that there's something bad that is happening, but that the elevated white cell count says that this is something that your immune system is identifying within your body that there could be a potential problem. So it's more active. That's probably the best way to say.
Mm.
Whenever the white count becomes elevated many times, the red count drops, that can make us feel more fatigue.
Yeah.
First of all, some of the things that you have done as far as diet changes has worked for you.
Yeah.
What I would encourage you to do is I would encourage you to purchase some books on inflammation, dealing with inflammation. I would encourage you to buy a book on C-reactive protein. There are actually books that are by that name. Dr. Mark Hyman, H-Y-M-A-N. I'm just an advocate of his work. There's many, many great people. Dr. Andrew Weil, many great people. But Dr. Mark Hyman's Ulta Metabolism works a lot with chronic inflammation in the body. Also, when it goes systemic, chronic inflammation in the brain. And as a result, then what will occur is we can have a predisposition for headaches and so forth. So I would go to those books and I would look at what you've been doing and what you can add to the diet. And that will help you. What
are the things? C-reactive protein.
Yes, it's C. It's a creatine reactive protein.
Okay.
And they call it C-reactive protein.
Okay.
And so Google that, and that will help you in managing the inflammation. The angioplasty.
Do you think it's from the ehrlichiosis, or is it something else like candida, or?
Yes, it's a combination of both.
Okay.
It is actually a combination of both. And when I suggested as far as the diet, it's managing the candida so it can stabilize the pH of your immune system so it can work with some of the other things that your body is going in.
Okay.
One of the things I do encourage you, and I would be remiss if I did not do this, I would encourage you to run the test that are needed so it can put your mind at ease and it knows exactly what you're working with and what you are not working with. The fact that there's a genetic predisposition to the angioplasty, it's important for you to please go in and just do that. And the reason I'm saying that isn't truly because I'm concerned.
Okay.
But what I am is I can see in your field as I touch you, your mind is concerned.
Yes.
And until that mind gets the information it needs to know how to move forward, it's going to fixate, dwell, obsess. It's going to awfulize, as I call it. It's going to blow it out of proportion. So in the case, especially with a genetic predisposition, get your information. It'll give your mind what it needs. And then you can truly put yourself in a healing position. Right now, the avoidance aspect of it just keeps that fear churning. Fear is the most powerful negative emotion, changes the chemistry of the body. And that literally can become a problem to the body. That raises white cell count. So,
well, the other avoidance issue that I have is I'm so aware of how we manifest what we think about.
Correct.
And I have things that are still simmering after 10 years that I keep thinking they're gone, and they're not gone. And so things that I read and advice that I get and urges
exactly.
that I get are to write these things down, tear them to shreds, keep doing it and burying it and burning it or whatever until it's all gone. And the fear of keeping that rolling keeps me from doing it.
It does.
I don't know whether to not focus on it completely, which is what I've done all these years. I think is why I've been able to survive some of these things.
Exactly.
And, you know, because if you feel bad, then just have a different thought, which is what your whole show is about.
Absolutely.
And so I don't know. What would be your suggestion as far as helping me go ahead and release some of these things? Should I be
just
focusing on it or just do like I've been doing?
So what you do, and because you're reaching that proverbial fork in the road, and that's where we all reach at some point in time. Absolutely. The process of healing is a process. When you go in and you're doing the things and you're reading the books and you're changing your attitudes and you're changing your emotions, very, very powerful. In our naivety, we think that if we do it one or two or three times, that it ought to be able to go in and instantaneously change everything. Honey, I'm 62 years old. If it took me 60 years old to reach the place that I am now in the awareness, it's a little naive of me to think that because I'm going to wake up tomorrow, that everything is going to be different with that emotional charge. Life is the process. So I know that I have to go through the process. What you're doing works for you from an emotional, mental level. But when your mind, when you go into that fear is there because your mind is out of control around it. And that's when we can keep trying things and do, but when, it keeps coming up and coming up and coming up and the fear doesn't change, we've got to give the mind what it needs. And the best way to do it is, you know, through books, but more importantly, in this case, honey, a doctor. And you know what? If you don't like what the doctor says to you, at least you've got a baseline. Your mind's going to go in and go, I don't like what the doctor has for me, or I do like it, but at least I know where I am. And then your mind will come in, and then it'll start giving you what you're looking for. You know, it's, excuse me, it's dealing with things on such a, on so many levels. Fear is the part that says, this must change. You're lacking information. So, Gail, I would do that. And again, I would have been remiss if I didn't say to you, just go give your mind what it needs. And, you know, if you don't want to deal with all the things in your body, it's like I did with the first caller. Mm-hmm. Pick the one that you have the greatest fear around. That's the one that takes you to the doctor. Mm-hmm. If you don't like what the doctor says, find another opinion.
As far if you, as emotional charges and leftover anger and resentment and that kind of thing.
No, that work you're doing.
That I journal or just...
Yes, yes.
You do think I should.
Absolutely. What I'm talking about with the doctor is nothing emotion. It's pure anatomy and physiology.
Okay.
What you're doing with the emotion, honey, journal, read, color, sing, move, walk, think, do whatever you're doing. Journaling is very important right now, especially with the energy shifts that we're going to go through this month.
Okay.
Also, dreams are very important. We're doing so much emotional release work in the dreams stage of our day that so much of what we've been hanging on to for a long time, we're being worked on in the landscapes of the night, as it's called, in our dreams, and it's tremendously healing. Absolutely, absolutely.
I am wide open for that.
Yes, you are, and I must say to you and end this call by saying to you, you are a very courageous soul. The things that you put on your to-do list that you wanted to accomplish in this lifetime, oh, my, hats off to you, sweetie. I really do mean that. Thanks, Gail.
Love you.
All right. So let's go in very briefly. Asthma is associated with the negative emotions of jealousy, frustration, guilt, worry, and the fear of being alone. Arthritis is associated with the negative emotions of the fear of rejection, anxiety, despair, the fear of criticism, most importantly, regret. Back pain is associated with the negative emotions of arrogance, guilt, grief, rage, frustration, most important, sadness. Diabetes is associated with the negative emotions of anxiety, despair, hopelessness, guilt, and sorrow. Insomnia is associated with anxiety, anger, and the fear of being out of control. Irritable bowel syndrome, negative emotions are hatred, anger, resentment, most important, shame. And heart disease is associated with the negative emotions of anger, betrayal, fear of loss of material thing, but the most important is hatred. So as you're looking at the different illnesses that you have, instead of avoiding those negative emotions, maybe go on a treasure hunt. Maybe you want to find them. So what are some of the things that you can do to literally change those negative emotions? First and foremost, change your self-talk. You've heard me say on my shows before with that, what occurs, if you say to yourself what you wouldn't say to your worst enemy, then your soul says, zip it. Don't say anything else. Stop thinking everything is your fault and that everything revolves around you. I know, greens, it's hard because it is all about you. But you know what? It isn't your responsibility to make everything in this world happy or perfect. Create an I feel good about me journal at the end of every day. Write down all of the things you did that day that make you feel good. Don't blow things out of proportion because all it does is supports the drama trauma and it locks you deeper into the fears created by the negative emotion. There is what Dr. Wayne Dyer was saying in the show, in his book, Excuses Be Gone. Imagination is the key to changing your health and changing emotions. I want to jump in real quick and let's take Linda from Ontario. Hi, Linda.
Hi.
Hi, thanks for calling me.
Wow, lucky girl for me. I got through. I spoke to you a couple months ago, Carol, regarding my neck and head pain, and you gave me some great suggestions. And with all due respect, I'm trying the things that you suggested, and I'm not getting any relief. And my question is, could there be some other level that I'm not looking at that's holding this down, that's anchoring it?
Oh, good. Because, you know, this is a moving target. And thank you for being so good about trying the things and for being so honest of saying, Carol, they're just not getting me where I need to. So let's go in. So let's go into the spine. And I want you to go to the center of the spine, right at the base of your shoulder blades. Actually, if you go your shoulder blades and go up maybe 3/4 of an inch.
Okay.
In that particular part of the vertebrae, the thoracic vertebrae, that is what that's the pivot point in the spine. That also, in the way the chakra works, that third chakra is around personal power and self-confidence. In the work that you're doing with your body and your neck, yes, we did talk about some of the things that were, if I can remember correctly, touching you, poking you, as I call it, that there were some injuries that were happening at the time or some stresses that were happening in the body. So where you are today is that in that part of the thoracic spine, that part of the spine is called the pivot point. And when that becomes fixed, muscularly tight, the emotion that we hold in that area is anger on the right side, resentment on the left side. So if you were to look at yourself, look at your back, on the right side of your back, in those muscles would be anger. In the left side of those back, the back would be resentment.
That's
in that area.
Right.
Yes. When you go in and you look at it emotionally in that pivot point in the spine, if that point becomes fixed by those emotions,
right,
what will occur is the neck won't pivot the way it needs to, and the hips won't move the way it needs to. You can't bend forward. You can't move back. You can't tuck your bottom in. You can't push your bottom out.
Exactly.
So what we're doing is, and you're looking at it, so we're going to take this to the next level. In that area, it's either anger or resentment, and it pulls. You get angry, and then you get resentful. And you get resentful that people keep pulling you back into the anger. And then when you get angry, you get resentful. And what has occurred over the course of that dynamics of that push-pull back and forth, somewhere, honey, your resentment moved from being resentful of what other people are doing to you being resentful toward yourself, because your soul is crying out, what about me? What about me? When is it my turn? When can I have the freedom of movement? When can I have the freedom of this? When can I do this? So somewhere in those dynamics, in that third chakra, personal power, self-confidence, it is literally where the spiritual part of who we are connects with the human part of who we are, that kind of spiritual being, physical being, comes together. You're unplugged, but you're not really unplugged. So I want to give you a visual.
Everything right on, Carol.
You're good. See, we have to sometimes do this in layers. And, you know, it isn't that we're stuck. It's just it has to be layers. I mean, I have to call up my medical intuitive friends and say, you know, it kind of worked, but it didn't work. So where do I go now? They go, oh, well, you need to go here, Carol. So what we have.
That's true, because I had a really deep gulp that I could barely get my breath. So you hit it right on.
So let's give you a visual. So the soul itself is the female part of the plug. The bottom part, the human part, is the male part of the plug. Your plug isn't completely unplugged, because truth or in reality, when that happens, we go back into light. But it's just like somebody stepped on your cord or tripped on it, and they just pulled that connection apart. So if you can visualize and do it on a regular basis, visualize that plug being put back together and be sure that it's really secure. And when you put that plug together, create an emotion that you will feel when you're plugged in. And it could be acceptance, but it's self-acceptance. It could be self-love. It could be joy. It'll have to be a positive emotion.
Right.
And what it'll do is every time that anger comes in, it's like you go in and you can see that anger coming to you, and it's, you know, like a train out of control, and it's like you take that little emotion that seems like it doesn't have any power at all, but it does, that positive emotion, and you push it back at it, and you literally go and you say, this is it. This is it. We're not doing this anymore. I'm not going to allow myself to be pulled in the same place of anger that I was before. Now, you may still be there. But just that shifting of consciousness, just saying to that emotion, we're done. And it comes back up, we're done. Comes back up, we're done. The most important thing is the more you can remove the charge of the anger, the less you'll be plugged into yourself, the less you will doubt your intuition, Because, see, the things I'm saying to you, you're saying to me, you know this on some level.
Yes.
And your intuition has been telling you, it's like you're looking in one direction, Linda, and you're walking in the other. And your soul's going, you know, it'd be much easier to get to your destination if you would look where you're walking, or you would walk where you're looking.
Absolutely.
And that's the metaphor.
Wow.
Now, the other thing is, sweetie, I do need to go back to the body. The bottom line of it is that in the body, in that part of the body that I'm talking about, I do have some inflammation in the muscle. Are you inclined to do massage, or do you swim, or are you open to taking some kind of over-the-counter to be able to help you with the inflammation?
Sure.
Okay. All of those things. It needs to have movement. That part of you needs to be stretched, not disconnecting the cord by any means, or unplugging it, or basically not really unplugging it but pulling it apart. But the most important thing is, I've got some inflammation. If you're inclined to do something over-the-counter, Advil, Aleve, something like that, you don't need much. But what it'll do is start to deal with the chronic inflammation that builds up in that area. Think of it as kind of that chronic frustration.
Yeah.
That chronic anger.
And so,
yeah,
take it on a regular basis just for a while, or?
Well, no, actually, how it feels to me is, if like where you are today, it isn't as bad today as doesn't feel like as it was yesterday afternoon.
Exactly.
But today, we've got the inflammation. You could do ice packs on it. That will remove the toxins. Ice pack on the muscle is like telling the brain to send 1,200 milligrams of ibuprofen to the area that's hurting.
Wow.
So you could do that. You could do heat. Heat removes the toxin, but the ice sends that to the brain to send to the pain receptor site something that can make it work. You could take maybe 400 milligrams of an ibuprofen, or you could take an Advil, or you could take an Aleve. You don't need much. You just need to get some relief right now, so your hips won't set and your shoulders won't set.
That's right. But you're asking me to only take it when the symptoms show up, not take it regularly for a short period.
Well, yes. Where I'm asking you is to do that in this particular time. Now, you have to know, you know what your pain is. You know how to manage your pain. And then you have to be the one that decides how much you're going to take and how often. One of the things to do, anytime any of us out there, and myself, has to take anything over the counter that is an anti-inflammatory or a pain reliever, it is important for us to take it with food.
Okay.
And then take it with food, and then take it and then see how you feel. Try the icing. Try some of the other things. Keep on going what we talked about. Don't give up. Some will work, some won't. You're going to get a feel for that over the course of time, but don't give up on it. Stay in the process, and eventually you'll get where you want to be. I really do believe that.
Wow, that would be wonderful. My heart knows that, but my head's frustrated because it's been a long journey of daily pain for the last 5 years.
Exactly. Pleasure. I'm going to be back next Wednesday. Have a wonderful day, and light and love to all of you. I'm medical intuitive Carol Reitberger.
You've been listening to The Carol Reitberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.